This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, March 18th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Crops getting thirstier. Prop 12 pushes pork prices up 41%. AgriPulse DC Summit features Vilsack and more. Study. Climate change is making crops thirstier. UC Merced researchers have published new findings that the changing climate is, quote, enlarging the water demand for crops in the San Joaquin Valley. In turn, that's putting more pressure on aquifers. The added climate surcharge accounts for about half of agriculture's water deficit and has made farmers more reliant on groundwater and surface water deliveries. Both come with regulatory uncertainty, according to the report. It adds up to a loss of about 650,000 acre-feet per year, representing a 4% increase over the last decade, and it's expected to get worse. Professor John Abbott-Zoglu, a co-author of the study, said the hidden tax is, quote, pouring salt in the wounds for farmers. Pork prices jump 41% after Prop 12. UC economists have published three new papers offering an early glimpse into the impact of California's Prop 12 animal welfare law. The state began to fully implement and enforce the regulation in January, more than 5 years after voter approval. Delays due to legal battles have led to, quote, market fluctuations, uncertainty, and cost imposed on producers and consumers, according to the researchers. Californians have faced 20% higher prices for pork on average since July compared to other states. While pork loin shot up 41%, wholesale prices have jumped 30%. Products not covered by Prop 12, they didn't see a significant change. Pork consumption in the meantime has declined about 10%, and the amount of pork available is significantly lower. With Massachusetts also approving an animal welfare law, the researchers worry about a patchwork of policy spreading across the country, further raising costs and uncertainty. AgriPulse Summit looks to ag's future revenue. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is joining leaders of the Senate Agriculture Committee and some top CEOs today at the annual AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit in Washington. This year's summit is focused on the future of U.S. agriculture and new revenue possibilities in a wide range of sectors. Industry executives at the summit include Gene Giobas, CEO of World Energy, Patrick Gruber, CEO of Gevo, two companies at the forefront of development of sustainable aviation fuel, along with an executive from Delta Airlines. Also appearing, Jeff Simmons, president and CEO of Atlantico Animal Health, Jackie Applegate, president of Bayer Crop Science. By the way, Secretary Vilsack will be back on Capitol Hill this week. He'll testify before the House Appropriations Committee Thursday. That panel is chaired by Maryland GOP Representative Andy Harris. He's a member of the House Freedom Caucus who unsuccessfully tried to make deep cuts in USDA's budget for fiscal 24. Now for more on this week's D.C. agenda, read our Washington Week ahead. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Lynn Richardson, longtime California farmer editor, dies. Lynn John Richardson, a soft-spoken and pioneering figure in the world of American agriculture journalists, passed away peacefully on March 5, 2024 at his home in Danville, California, that according to his family. He was 85. Born on May 31, 1938 to Russell Richardson and Berta Hines, Lynn's profound impact on the agriculture industry and his commitment to journalistic excellence spanned decades. AgriPulse editor Sarah Wyatt said, quote, Lynn was an incredible journalist, visionary, and mentor. He was never afraid to question conventional ideas and boundaries. As vice president of editorial for Farm Progress in the late 1990s, Wyatt oversaw California Farmer and dozens of other state farm magazines. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. EPA and Corps of Engineers sued over Clean Water Act interpretation. A North Carolina landowner is suing EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, alleging the agencies continue to illegally assert authority over areas that should be off limits to regulation after the Supreme Court Sackett decision last year. Robert White claims he has had to fallow several hundred acres where he allows other farmers to grow wheat, corn, and soybeans in order to comply with the agency's broad interpretation of what constitutes adjacent wetlands. White also wants to create a sand mine and has expressed interest in eventually turning that into a fish farm. The lawsuit filed in federal court in eastern North Carolina says he's represented by the Pacific Legal Foundation, which is involved in other litigation over the amended rule issued last August to conform with Sackett. Now keep in mind, ag groups have expressed concern recently about the agency's view of their authority in the wake of the Sackett decision, which said the Clean Water Act covers wetlands only in their continuous surface connection, makes them indistinguishable from already covered waters. 24 states, as well as ag and other business groups, are continuing a lawsuit against the agencies in North Dakota, where a judge blocked implementation of the agency's January 23 rule. Currently, that rule is enjoined in 27 states. Bozeman and Ernst seek Inspector General probe of USDA telework. The Senate Agriculture Committee's top Republican, John Bozeman of Arkansas, and committee member Joni Ernst of Iowa, they're asking USDA Inspector General to investigate the agency's telework, locality pay, and space utilization policies. In a letter, the senators cite a November 27, 2023 letter from a whistleblower who claims to be a supervisor at the USDA headquarters in Washington, who wrote, "On occasions, I have gone to USDA headquarters in Washington. It resembles a ghost town." The letter also says employees working remotely, quote, "did not respond to simple email questions for hours." If USDA employees are unreachable and unresponsive to their own managers, we worry our constituents are receiving the same treatment or worse, the lawmakers write. Pushing back, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has disputed the assertions. At Commodity Classic this year in Houston, he said 82% of the hours that are worked at USDA, quote, are being worked in place. In other words, people who are on the job either in their office or they may be out of the countryside because they're an NRCS person at a farm. Anybody who suggests that the work is not getting done, I think, does a terrible disservice to the incredibly hardworking people at USDA who are doing record levels of activity, Vilsack said. Finally, here's today's She Said It. Our department really is the poster child for breaking the glass ceiling. That Dr. Annette Jones, state veterinarian, celebrating CDFA's Diversity for Women's History Month. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, March 18th, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.